Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. This Aspire radio program, what we affectionately call Satsang, is being recorded for August 31st, 2018, and we're going to be looking at mischief. What is mischief? It is typically doing things, according to the dictionary, that cause trouble or hurt or grief. And we're going to talk about our mischief according to how the Buddha may have meant it in order to help us. So I'm very grateful that you're here to be with us on this radio program. And I want to remind you that you are listening to this program via the kind graces of my sponsors who make all this possible with their monthly and quarterly donations. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts and theirs that we are able to sustain our radio program. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and serve humankind in this very important way. So if you're interested, please come to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. You will see a little button there that says support. And if you hit it, a drop-down menu will ensue, and you can look at all of the reasons why Aspire is worthy of your kindness, your support, as we do many, many things, not only here on radio and TV, but in the community. I do hospice work, and we do many things to serve the children around this area, and believe me, they need it, and I hope that you will help us. I really do. What is your mischief? That is an interesting question, and everybody has had mischief in their life. I've had it, you've had it, everybody's had it. And Buddha referred to our way of undermining ourselves, even in a kind of self-serving, malicious way. He called it our mischief. It's something that I feel when I hear the word really describes accurately exactly what is going on within us. And we're going to talk about our mischief because I talk about it in my discourses, talk about it in my TV programs, and people often wonder, well, what is that? I get emails about it, which really pleases me because it means that people are at least curious. Most people in this country, in this world, are not curious at all about their inner life at all. Not even remotely. It's all about whatever else is happening at the time. So to have someone say, hey, what is mischief, is really important to me. So here's the first question from Doug, and he lives in, let's see, where is this? Forgive me, Carolina. He says, Greg, I hear you talk about mischief in the Eightfold Path of the Buddha. Yes, I do talk about it there in the TV program. And so he says, exactly what is my mischief? What is mischief? Well, Jesus used the word sin. Buddha uses the word mischief. They are both giving the same basic meaning. Sin and mischief all talk about how Greg and Doug transgress the laws that exist here on this planet, that we do it both mischievously, willfully, and willingly oftentimes. And in doing this kind of thing and living in this kind of way, we miss the whole opportunity of what it is to bring about restoration in our life. You see, Doug, before I begin on the mischief thing, we're here to give restoration to our life, to restore our life to the natural ebb and flow that it was, I'm not going to say intended to be, but what is here. There is laws and principles that exist on this planet that sustain loving kindness and the ability to do many beautiful things to help one another. And my restoration and my life is really something you do not to be a goody two-shoes, but you have to realize the laws and the principles that exist here. And if you don't, then what are you doing? Maybe you think you're doing charity work or things like that, and that's not the point. The whole point of being here, if you take a deep breath, I know you're not going to like hearing this, but it is what it is for us to overcome our karma, things we have done in our past lives, things we have done with our current life. We have done a lot of damage. We don't always know we're doing damage, and that's what makes it mischief. Sometimes we're doing things that are just things we're doing that are, well, seem commonly sensible to us, but are self-destructive in many ways. We define this kind of experience from the food we eat to the things we do at work and at play and at home, where we're just trying to get by, or we're just trying to do things in a way which comfort us and make us feel better about ourselves. Things that are convenient to our bodies, convenient to our time. We often do a little mischievous thing here and there. We maybe scrimp on this and on other things. We go lavish. We maybe say things that are unkind and unnecessary. That's a big one in mischief. There's all sorts of ways to do it. But nevertheless, all of this mischief that I'm in creates a karma, a backlash. Not because I'm evil, but because I'm transgressing the laws that are here on this planet of love. If you don't know the laws, if you don't understand them, if you're not even interested in them, which most people are not, then the transgression goes deeper and deeper and deeper into our lives. And we suffer the consequences of a what I call pedestrian living, living in a pedestrian, mundane mind that is only thinking about its own survival, what it can get, and how unfair the world is. It leaves you open to politics, which is the whole idea of trying to fight for the goodness of yourself over the goodness of others. It's futile, stupid, and really big mischief. And all of this has consequences. Now, I am sure you are not privy, Doug, to my commentaries. But if you were, if you sign up for them, they're only $15 a month. It's no big deal. You get the commentary twice a month, podcast, video cast twice a month. They're more than worth it. There is number 20 and 21 in the commentaries, and you have access to all of them. So it isn't like, you know, you begin this week and you can't go back and look at a past ones. You need to read commentary 20 and 21. They are about the laws that prevail here on this planet that we are here to acquiesce to. If we don't, which we don't, we have all the chaos which you see. The chaos with our climate changes, the chaos with politics, the chaos in communities, the chaos with children, the chaos that goes on in medicine. It goes on and on and on and on. It does not end. This chaos that we are experiencing through all of these things won't go away because we say, oh, I'm not a part of it. I'm a part of it. You're a part of it. Everybody is a part of this mischief. But if you don't understand and don't take the time to awaken to these things, then you're going to find that there is great tragedies that keep going and going and going and going. There's a plethora of difficulties that will happen. And that is just the way it is. I can't describe them all to you here because I've got to go to the next question, but if you read the commentary, you'll get it. You're going to have to read it a few times. Even some of my students who are pretty adept at, you know, this kind of stuff had to read it a couple of times. It is important for you to understand Whether you believe me or not, and whether you like it or not, you and I are here in this lifetime doing what we're doing to, shall we say, heal our karma, to change and alter the way we have lived in the energies of this planet. And in living in those energies, which is all about compassion and love and unconscionable generosity, you find the meaning of yourself. And that is the most important aspect of all of this, that you will find the meaning to your life. This is a very intelligent universe that we live in. It is extremely integral and amazingly orderly. The amazing part of this orderliness is that it pertains to every nuance of my life. And if I immerse myself in those laws and understand them deeply, and I don't transgress them with my Greg Penn mischief, then something of great beauty can arise. Something of the other shore can exist. And you will find, really, you will be very surprised. I am surprised. And I am humbled by the whole idea of understanding these laws and working with them. And I have in a great portion of my life. And now, more than ever, it's the only way to live is in these very simple laws. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. With what measure you meet, it will be measured unto you. Little simple teachings like that means so much. Go take a look. Thank you, Doug. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'll never forget, you know, the old Bill Cosby story of Noah being born without a manual. We are not born with a manual. And the care and keeping of a Gregory, I mean, that would... What would that be? But there is a manual to this, as it were, and I laugh every time I think about that. We just don't care. We just wing it, and that's why the world is the way it is. Next one comes from Karen. I'm very concerned about the world. I have 3 children, and I'm wondering what kind of world they will be living in. It's a good question. Why do we as a world, as people, do what is wrong all of the time? Karen. Karen doesn't tell me where she lives. You know, the argument for this, Karen, is that people would say that your attitude about what is wrong or asking about what is wrong is subjective and very personal. But it really isn't. And I understand what you're saying, and I agree with everything you just said. It is an interesting world. We just tend to do everything we can in a way that causes us such great heartache and sorrow. We never let up either with it. I'll tell you what it is. It is self-preservation through self-righteousness. It is self-preservation through self-righteousness. When a person has to be self-righteous about their preservation, when they will do things for themselves without any consideration of the effect that this might have on other people, that is where our basic social mischief comes from. And we revel in the idea of the whole predicament of us getting some great kind of benefit while others are left in the dust. And maybe left in the dust due to how we got this great benefit. That's the whole story in a nutshell. Doesn't get any deeper, doesn't go any further, doesn't mean anything more. It's just about that. And because we live in this ugly remains of the day, as it were, by working to get what we want at the cost of another person, we fall to this very ugly way of life that has an effect on every part of this world, every single part of this world. It affects children who are here now and the children who may come into this world. The effects of what we've done with our environment is absolutely insane. And believe it or not, that people, of course, who could help change all of this won't, because their self-preservation is at stake. And when you have a matter of self-preservation over, let's say, the good of the whole of this world, you're in deep trouble, because people don't care about each other. We haven't come to this one great insight that linked together, we can do great good in this world. But divided, we do only mischief. We only do damage to ourselves. And we create in our world and in our lives great heartache. We just don't see that. We just don't want to see that. And because we don't want to recognize that or see this in any way, shape, or form, we cause ourselves self-destruction. The earth is falling apart at the seams. And there are consequences for the way we've used our natural resources. But that's just the physical world. All of this starts within a person. It starts within their own inner being. Now, what causes me to be selfish? That's the key. It isn't just what we're doing in and of the world that is ugly. I have to ask myself, what am I doing that's causing me to be so selfish? Our feelings of insecurity, our feelings of low self-esteem, our emotionality and the state of our emotionality that is all about me, 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 is something that most people just will not give up. They think it's actually healthy. I've had people tell me that they think that being selfish is a healthy thing to do. It is not a healthy thing to do. And it will not benefit them in any way, shape, or form. But they think it will. And because they believe in such carnage, we have great carnage in this world. What I am from within myself can't be hidden. What I believe in, how I live with myself from within me, spreads out to all the world, everywhere in this world. And it is a really difficult thing for any one of us to deal with. But we do what we do, and we say what we say, and we think what we think, believing that it doesn't matter, that it won't affect anyone else, or no one will know, or blah, blah. My mischief goes everywhere. And I've learned over the years of my teaching career and my own personal life that everything we do matters and everything is important. So what does that mean? It means you allow for love. You let love live you. You live in the state of a great love within your heart. And you must achieve this love through consciousness, through meditation. If you don't, you will have nothing to give to this world but mischief. Now, the other part of that, I've really got to look at it, is to be selfless. A part of the reason why people can't work on themselves or have no sense of inner meditation or inner presence is because they're too selfish to work on themselves. They're just too selfish. Pride, selfishness, greed, these things are very, very important to the pedestrian mentality. We clean them up by saying, oh, I am doing this to take care of myself. I'm doing this because I have to come first. Until I take the attitude of first you, then me, I am not going to be able to mature into the heart. The things that are most important in this world, the most important thing to derive out of living in this world is to live from the heart. If you don't live from the heart, you have nothing. Karen, we do what is wrong because we know not what we do. We don't realize how far this all goes in anything we do. Our self-preservation exceeds our interest in love. Our self-preservation, it exceeds even our own desire for our children to have a better world. We just don't care. So we don't allow ourselves to transcend, because it would mean breaking with not only the pack that we call our families, but it would also mean breaking from society the way we have. We'd have to restructure the whole thing, and we're not going to do that. So here we are. Kind of a bleak outlook, but a realistic one. It will be interesting to see how this all ends. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Claire. She does not tell me where she lives. Do any of us really know what is right and wrong, Greg? Do you know what is right and wrong, Claire? Claire, I have found that sometimes what is right seems wrong, and sometimes what is wrong is absolutely right. So I don't think in terms of black and white, even though I hate to say it, there's a lot of things in this world that are black and white. But I don't think in terms of right and wrong. Here's what I think in terms of, since you asked me. What is harmonious? What would bring about the greatest harmony in any given situation? That's how I look at it. How could I blend? And if I can blend in something that's harmonious, can I live in that harmonious blending with a sense of courage to do those things that would enable me to further that harmony, even at the cost, listen to me, of my own self-preservation? Ah, that's a big one, isn't it? Because most people don't want to do something like that. They don't want to live in anything that would cause them to understand the nature of life beyond their self-preservation. I have to be willing to sacrifice for the sake of the greater good that exists within each and every person I meet. I see every person not as a consequence, but as an opportunity for me to see parts of myself that I could not see before. I am dealing with old Gregory wherever I go. And if I treat him with respect and kindness, discipline, absolute discipline, then I have something very meaningful going on. If I don't do my practice, live in my practice with a sense of discipline, and I don't see things the way they exist in the bigger picture of this life, then I will create more mischief. It isn't a matter of right and wrong, Claire. It's really a matter of mischief. Am I going to get involved in it? Am I going to make more mischief? Or am I going to do those things that let love be possible? Because it is only when love is possible that the meaning of life can have its way in my living. I have a saying, let love live you. And if you do, if you can do something that courageous, that means that restitution has established itself in you. And then something of the other shore will begin to emerge in you. It's all very, very important. I hope that helps you. Oh, here we go. I'm out of here. I've run out of time. Oh, and on top of all of that, here's the button. What mischief am I up to now? Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.